Friendship isn't the big things, it's the million little things. Hello there, friends, and welcome to this, another episode of A Million Little TV Shows Podcast. This is where we break down and discuss episodes of TV shows that you may not have even heard of. I believe these TV shows need a little more love, and that is what this platform is here to do. Each week, we will be covering different shows from all over the globe. We'll be breaking down each episode, giving you the main highlights, and going through it bit by bit. But for now, I think it's best that we find out what's on the menu today. Hello there, and welcome back to this, A Million Little TV Shows Podcast. Now, a little behind the scenes here for you. I tried to record this yesterday and genuinely could not be arsed. And I know that sounds bad, but I've been doing this on and off for the last couple of weeks and not really had a break. So I just wanted to have a night for myself, just to chill out and decompress from the day. So I ended up watching the end of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Not a bad show. Probably won't cover it because it'll probably get absolutely mullered by all the people that actually read the books. I never read the books. I saw the film The Lightning Thief. Thought that was alright. Saw this was coming as a TV show. Thought it was alright. However, today we are going to be carrying on with our coverage of Miracle Workers, and it's going to be season 2. Now, I like this one because the setting for it is the Dark Ages, and it always makes me laugh. It always makes me think of, like, Blackadder. The reason I like anything that's sort of a period drama, and I say period drama, that's not the word I'm looking for, a period comedy, is because I enjoy the way that they set things up. So in this case, it's the Dark Ages. So, you know, like Blackadder, where they had like the Elizabethan era and the Edwardian era, where it was like the French Renaissance. They ended up having the World War episodes in season 4. And of course, they did a Dark Ages series as well. So it just makes me think about how we interpret certain things. And it always makes me laugh watching things like that, because it's so much fun to have an image of what it would have been like way back when. And we don't really know, and we're probably never really going to know. We can have as many historians as you want telling us different things, but we don't ever really know. So to have these great comedies that sort of go into that and give their own interpretation of it always makes me want to watch it. For instance, I'd never watched Plebs before, which is about the Romans, until recently, and I really enjoyed that. And that's sort of why I ended up watching this series. So, originally, I hadn't seen that the first season of Miracle Workers had actually come out. Can't remember if it was the actual third season that I saw being advertised and thought, what's this? And then started to watch from the beginning, or whether it was the fourth season. And I think it was probably the fourth season. It was on its way, and I thought, I've got to watch this because it looks really good. And then I realised there was 3 other seasons. And so I went back and watched the rest. But now it's obviously come to an end, unfortunately, so I'm never going to be able to watch it again. So I am quite glad I'm doing this, because it is sort of a chronicle of this whole show. A history, you might say. But anyway, these are quite quick, short episodes, and I am going to be doing 5 episodes today. So hopefully we won't run too long, but we'll be going a little bit longer than these normal comedy episodes. Anyway, I think it's time we should get into it, because it's a really fun show. So, this is Miracle Workers, Season 2, Dark Ages, Episodes 1 to 5. So the cast for this season is pretty much the same as last season, but obviously we've got them playing different characters. So Daniel Radcliffe plays Prince Chauncey the Pretty Cool. Steve Buscemi plays Edward Eddie Murphy Shit Shoveler. Geraldine Viswanathan plays Alexandra Al Shit Shoveler. Karen Zoni plays Lord Chris Vexler. John Bass plays Michael Mikey Shit Shoveler. And Lolly Adefope plays Maggie. And we also have Peter Serafinowicz as King Cragnor the Heartless. Episode 1, Graduation. So we start off with Al and Maggie sat on a rooftop watching an execution. It seems that this is very common for the town, and Al seems a little bit disillusioned by all of it. Everyone else is baying for blood and cheering and whooping, and these two are just sat up there drinking some beer, I assume beer, and watching the show go down. They're also playing a drinking game. So, it just makes me laugh. Like I said, you know, the daftness of what we are imagining. And I know it's sort of a modern world trope being played out in, like, olden times, in the Dark Ages, but it really does make me laugh. And so after the execution, Al is walking through the town and she meets three people. One, his surname is Carpenter. Another, his surname is Baker. And the third, his name is Henry Pervert. Just going to jump in here for a second because his name isn't Henry Pervert. It is actually Wesley Pervert, but I say Henry throughout. Apologies. Now, the Baker and the Carpenter know that they're going to end up being Bakers and Carpenters. They do what their name is. And so they turn to Henry Pervert and say, "What is it you're going to be doing, Henry Pervert?" And he goes, "Just stuff." And to think that the name Pervert was possibly a name back then, who knows? So they ask Al what she's going to be doing, and Al has dreams bigger than what this town has. And she tells them that she's going to go to school. And so they're like, "Well, aren't you just going to be like your dad and become a shit shoveler?" It then skips to Steve Buscemi, who is basically walking through the town with a cart, and he seems to know everyone's schedule, like their bathroom schedule, and is always asking people if they're okay or, you know, have you been regular? So he's drumming up business, fair enough. But as he walks through the town, we get this established shot of how ingrained he is within the community. We then meet Prince Chauncey, who is a ridiculous character in all fairness. I love Daniel Radcliffe in silly roles like this because he is quite funny, but he's fucking ridiculous. He's basically training ducks to be part of a play, but he's the prince. So he goes and sees the king and is trying to get his father's approval. Problem is, his father is a tyrant and is very bloodthirsty. And as soon as he sees Chauncey, he's like, "Can we just get rid of him?" And sends Lord Vexler to go and take him away. Chauncey can't understand why his dad isn't proud of him while he's stood in front of a picture of him riding a pony, which is in this hall of great pictures of these big, strong kings and queens and all sorts of shit. And then there's him riding a fucking pony. It is brilliant. And Vexler just can't understand, quote unquote, why his father isn't more approving of his son. Then we cut to Al, and she is starting her first day of classes. When she gets in there, she gets told three things. One, the earth is flat. Two, the devil is real. And three, the sun is crazy. And apparently at that point, that's all they knew. And so she gets to go. That's it. She's graduated. But of course, she's not satisfied with that. She wants answers. She wants to know that there's more out there than just this life that she's possibly going to inherit, i.e. being a shit shoveler. Eddie is really proud of the service that he provides, and now that his daughter has graduated, I suppose, he wants her to get into the family business straight away. And so he starts taking her out. He's also bought her a shovel, which is fucking adorable, because he sets it up as he's bought her a book, and then she opens it, and it's a shovel with her name on it, but it's a really short shovel. And then she's got the words RIP on the back with dates on it, because apparently these shovels also count as a headstone. So basically, you're going to die as a shit shoveler and you've already got your headstone ready. Fucking mental. So Al is going to be going out with her dad the next day. And straight away, like I say, he's a proud guy. He really likes doing this job. And so he needs to teach her the special technique for picking up shit. Who knew there was a technique, huh? While this is all going on, Chauncey is trying to make his dad proud, and he goes to see him and tells him that he is ready to go out and be a warrior, and he wants to go to war, and he wants to face the, I think they're called the Valdrogians, who are his father's greatest enemies. So his father says, "Well, yeah, okay, let's get him suited and booted, let's get him out there." And nobody else thinks this is a good idea apart from his dad, who's just like, "Yep, just go, let's prove this, whether you're a warrior or not, or you're just gonna end up dead, and then you're not really gonna be a problem to me anymore." So he sends his son off. Meanwhile, we see that Al ends up getting confronted again by the trio of people from the village, and they're mocking her because she wanted to have an education. It's that whole thing of, oh, well, I thought you were going to uni. And she's come back and obviously she's not doing anything with her degree that she's now got or her graduation. And people in the village are looking down on her because she's just the average shit shoveler. When Eddie doesn't see that Al is getting the piss taken out of her by these three people, she ends up storming off because he just doesn't understand that she thinks this is demeaning, when actually he's integral to that village. Al goes to see Maggie during her lunch break, and while she's talking to her, Maggie tells her that she just needs to lower her expectations. Like, it's a job at the end of the day, and if she doesn't like it, what's she going to do? Al, however, has other thoughts on what she wants to do. So she goes to see her father, and she has extended her shovel. So it's a proper shovel now. And her father straight away looks at it and says, well, that's stupid, and breaks it, because it's not the traditional way. And Al's like, well, can't we just do things that aren't traditional? Can't we do something new? And he's like, no, you've got to respect this business, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, I don't want to do this. This is just crap. I don't want to do this job. One of the rules of being a shit shoveler is don't turn your back on the cart, which Al has now done, and it is now rolling down the hill. On the other side of this is Chauncey, who is coming the other way. At this point, he is in a carriage and is freaking out because the guards that are taking him to this battle have told him that the Valdrogians have guns. This is the fucking Dark Ages. Like, where have they got guns from? But anyway, Chauncey believes them, and so he freaks out, jumps out of the carriage that he's in, stands in front of the cart, which is the most ridiculous scene, as he stumbles towards this heavy cart with armour on, and then the next thing we see is he's laid out as his father comes and stands over him and goes, right, what's this all about? And he's like, I'm so sorry, father. I've become gravely injured. And it's fucking bullshit. His dad tells him that, look, whoever did this needs to be punished. And so, after Al has had a go at her father and told her that he doesn't care about her and what she wants, he steps forward. Even though it was technically Al's fault, he steps forward and takes the blame for his daughter. But of course, a prince has been injured. And so the prince has to decide what to do. And he decides that Eddie needs his head chopping off. And so we go back to the chopping block. But just before Eddie gets his head chopped off, Al comes to the rescue and speaks to Chauncey and tells him that her father means so much to this town. He knows the schedules of everyone around. And if it wasn't for him keeping the town going, who would? When Chauncey says, I need to do this because my father is watching on and he's bloodthirsty, she tells him that just because he's bloodthirsty doesn't mean you have to be. We can change the way that we are, and we can change what we do. Very much like Al has been trying to do throughout. She wants Chauncey to be the same so that she can save her father, and he agrees to let her father go. The king is not happy with Chauncey, but Chauncey gets his own little nickname. Whereas his father is nicknamed the Heartless, he gets nicknamed by Al as Prince Chauncey the Pretty Cool. And so he seems happy with his little nickname because he doesn't want to be too like his dad. Eddie is let off, but the three characters that have been taunting Al throughout the episode are stood in the... And they say, what do you mean he's getting off? We've been waiting here an hour. I mean, you could at least torture him. And then one says, flog him. And then Henry Pervert says, or spank him or suck his dick or something. And it just fucking cracks me up. Guy's a fucking nutcase. So anyway, Eddie is obviously forgiven and he starts to adapt his ways, just like his daughter said. And he now employs the new shovel that she brought in before. Al and Maggie are then sat on the roof again, watching another execution. And Maggie thinks this town isn't ever going to change. It's just so stupid. But it seems like Al has hope. Episode 2, Help Wanted. So Al and Maggie are at the pub, or the tavern, I suppose it would be called, and they are in the middle of a pub quiz. It's a fucking stupid program. And as they're doing it, each question is ridiculous. And the questions are absolutely out of this world. For instance, when Al is getting pissed off because the questions are so stupid, she asks for a science question. And when they ask why the sun gets blacked out roughly around every 18 months, she answers something along the lines of a theory about the eclipse, to which she is told that that is the wrong answer. And the actual answer is because every 18 months, the devil gets horny and he flies up to the sun and fucks it. And the problem is, back then, probably was the answer. You can just tell how frustrated Al is getting, because at one point, one of the people that's been mocking her degrades her and tells her that she's nothing but a shit shoveler. And so now Al is out to prove herself that she is more than that. But when one of the trio ends up getting kicked in the head by a horse because he was pulling on its tail, so rightly got kicked in the fucking head, Al ends up going over and helping out. She manages to staunch the bleeding, and when the local doctor comes over, he's impressed with how well she's doing. And so he tells her that he'd love her to come work with him in the doctor's surgery, which she quite rightly takes up because now she can finally show her intelligence. And all this goes down right in front of her bullies, so it's even sweeter. Chauncey, however, has lost his favourite duck. Even though Lord Vexley tells him that he has a multitude of other ducks to play with, he wants this particular one, like a fucking child would. And so he wants to mount a search for this duck. Turns out Mikey, Al's brother, has actually found the duck and is now playing with it. When Al starts her work as a doctor, the doctor who hired her turns out to not know a fucking thing that he's doing. And when he's giving advice on how to treat a common cold, by the looks of things, it turns out that he tells the guy to drink his own pee and they're probably going to need leeches putting on his cock. I mean, it's a way, isn't it? But I don't think it's the way. I mean, try it. Donald Trump advised everyone to put bleach in their fucking arm, so try it. Don't think it's going to help anything. Al, however, is not convinced by this and asks if this is the correct procedure, to which he tells her that he doesn't know what he's actually doing and he needs help. When Al speaks to Maggie, she actually wants to blow the whistle on the doctor. However, when her bullies come over and start to praise her, she decides that she doesn't want to anymore. She prefers the adulation and that maybe she can help out at the doctor's. Chauncey finds his duck with Mikey, but Mikey's already named it and has already started to form a bond. He tells Vexley to trick the dirty man out of it so he can get his duck back. And so Lord Vexley tells him that, and so Vexley picks up a rock and tells him that if he sits on this egg, which is quite clearly a rock, that it will become four ducks, and one of them will be the duck that he is currently holding. And so he agrees to swap, at which point he asks, do I have to do it naked? And to which at no point was it said that he had to sit on this fucking egg naked, but he does anyway. And so he sits on the egg, and overnight he starts to get colder and colder, at which point Chauncey is in the castle and he is feeling more and more guilty as the night goes on. He doesn't understand the feeling because he's never felt it before. And so when he asks Vexley, Vexley tells him that you're feeling guilty about this. And even when he tries to summon the duck by the name that he'd given it, Henry, the duck was ignoring him. But when he started to call it Bucket, which is the name that Mikey gave him, it turns around. And so he realizes that he is feeling guilty for tricking Mikey and probably freezing him to death while he sits naked on this rock, and thinks that maybe he should probably give the duck back. However, when Al gets to the surgery, the fucking doctor is out of his mind. And when Al's father turns up and brings Mikey into the surgery, the doctor prescribes for a bit of a chill instead of maybe going sitting in front of a fire. He tells them that Mikey's going to have to eat his own balls. And as he takes him in for the procedure, Al is obviously now conflicted. Does she carry on with the lie or does she tell her own family? Well, obviously she tells her own family. And so then her dad says, look, I'm glad you've told us, but what about the rest of the town? And Al ends up going, as she quotes, to the media, where they set up a stage in the middle of the town square and do a sort of Good Morning Britain, where they do an interview on stage, and she blows the whistle on all of this. Of course, this brings out the bullies, and they know that she's been lying now. So they go back to their old ways of bullying her again. But the only person who stands by Al is Maggie, because she doesn't care what her friend does as long as her friend is happy and being truthful to herself, which is what a good friend should be, really. Chauncey turns up at the shit shoveler's household and he brings the duck back for Mikey and tells him to look after him. But then there is this brilliant exchange between Mikey and Chauncey where Mikey is sat and he is still cold at this point. He's just got a shawl around him and he's sat out in the sun, but he's still cold to his bones. And so Chauncey says to him, "Oh, you look really cold. I'm really too warm, but I do have two coats on." And so he takes one of the coats off and you think that he's going to hand it to him and he goes, "Well, I could just carry this one." Fuck's sake. So then we go back to the pub and it's quiz night again. But this time, Al is actually the answer to one of the questions. But of course it's who tried to swindle the town and make people think that she was more intelligent than she actually was. But Al owns it and just puts her hand up and says, "Yep, that was me." But when Maggie asks what happened to the doctor, Al doesn't actually know. And then we see what happened to the doctor. He'd gone absolutely tonto. He'd gone insane. He decided that he needed to move and so burns down the surgery that he was in. Now I'm saying surgery, it's not a surgery, but you get what I'm on about. And he burns it down and says he's running away to Italy. Fucking this show, man. It makes me laugh so much. Even recounting it, I can't help but laugh, as obviously you probably realised. It's so funny. It's so fucking stupid. But they're also bringing in little modern twists. It's so good. Episode 3, Road Trip. The episode starts with how Lord Vexley became the Lord Vexley that we know. And so originally, 5 years earlier, he was actually just a guy who lived on the street. He then became a footman for the king and worked his way up from there to become Lord Vexley. And he did several different jobs throughout that time. And each time, he always advised the king in the right direction. And so now it seems that the hierarchy of the realm goes the king, the prince, and then Lord Vexley, and then everyone else underneath. So he's pretty much the highest guy in the land, bar two. Vexley has been sent on a mission to go and speak to the Valdrogian leaders. But because he needs royal appointment there, he's had to go with the prince. Even the king has apologised for this, because he knows how much of an idiot his son is. And so when he gets into the carriage, Chauncey is just excited. He thinks this is a jolly. And they're basically going on holiday. So he's packed a shit ton of stuff and he's wearing sunscreen and a big hat and has a big neck pillow. He looks a fucking idiot. Daniel Radcliffe's so funny. But Vexley knows that this is serious. That basically if they fuck this up, they're probably going to end up getting killed. And so he tells him that he needs him to basically be quiet because even Chauncey thinks that the Valdrogians are going to end up being able to speak English, whereas Vexley knows you can't always assume that everyone speaks English. Basically, Daniel Radcliffe's being a typical Brit and Vexley's being the realist. It's fucking great. So then Chauncey seems to just let this all wash over him and go over his head. He starts the music within the carriage, which is basically just a guy who is singing the same old song over and over again. And if Chauncey doesn't want to hear it anymore, he will ask him to skip. Fucking stupid. It's a good way to get around the old, well, we can't have technology, but we want him to have some sort of music in the carriage. Fucking brilliant. So funny. Al and Eddie end up going to a thing called ShitCon, which is basically a convention, a bit like a Comic-Con, but for shit shovelers. And when she gets there, she finds out that her dad is actually really quite popular. Everyone seems to love him. And it seems that if someone's off or someone's ill or they've had an issue, he will look after their round. So it's a bit like bin men, really. But Al didn't know this about her dad, and so she's really impressed with him, really proud of him. However, at this shit con, obviously a bit like a Comic Con or anywhere that you go, where it's a convention, they end up having a guest speaker on, and this guest speaker introduces a new concept called the hole, which is basically a hole in the ground that you never have anyone to come round and shovel the shit. And essentially, is going to make them obsolete. When Chansley and Vexler get to the Valdrogians, it turns out that they're actually party boys. And a bit like Chansley, they're just in it for a good time. So as soon as he gets there, he realizes how cool these people are, and it seems to put Vexley out a little bit. He's there to give them an offering and do a deal with them, and it just turns out to be a party for them. Al is quite positive about what's going on with this whole situation, and her dad thinks it won't catch on. Very much like most technology, don't worry. Won't catch on. Next thing is the biggest thing around. And of course, this is the same. And so, Eddie's justification for not having the hole is, well, you know, it won't really matter, will it? Because what's going to happen is, people are just going to do what they usually do, crap in the middle of the room, and then I'll come along in a couple of days and pick it up. Which is fucking gross. I didn't realise that's what they were doing. Anyway, I digress. So, he thinks it's a bad idea. But then every house that he goes to turns out to be the same story. They've all had a hole installed in their house because it's better for the environment. And at one point, Eddie turns around to one guy and says, look, if this is what's happened, why don't you just kiss me on the mouth? And he says, what do you mean? And he goes, because I like to be kissed on the mouth before I'm fucked. Such a great line. So obviously things aren't going well for Eddie right now. During the celebrations, it seems like these warlords are ready to sign this peace treaty between the king and their people. However, outside, it seems that Vexler thinks that these people are going to try and kill Chansley. He knocks a cup out of his hand and tells him that it's poisoned. But it turns out it's not poisoned at all, and that they weren't going to kill him. They were literally going to sign the treaty there and then. But now, because of his actions, war is back on. And so they have to go back to the kingdom defeated, and will have to tell the king that they've fucked it. Eddie, however, has had a brilliant idea, and two of his customers turn up back at his house and ask him to come and help get rid of the shit that is in their house from now on, because it turns out that there are snakes in the hole that has been dug in their house. Immediately, Al knows that her dad's done this. And when he confesses that, yeah, it was me who put the snakes in there, she thinks, you're an honourable man, and this isn't honourable. People respected you, and now you've let them down, and you've let me down. Al teaches her dad about the holes, as if it needed fucking teaching. And she actually teaches him that maybe these holes need maintaining, and that might be the smart thing to do. That if he gets into hole maintenance, he can branch out a little bit, and that is exactly what he does. And so he starts going around his customers and not only maintaining the holes, he gets the snakes out for them. Chansley and Vexler obviously get back to the kingdom, and as soon as he starts speaking to his dad, he realizes that his dad will probably kill Vexler for what he's done, and that the war is going to continue. And so Chansley takes the blame, knowing that his dad won't do a thing to him. And it's at this point that Vexler knows that Chansley is on his side and is a good friend to him, instead of them just being lord and master, I suppose, would be the best way. However, because of this, Chansley leaves the castle for a bit to try and escape his father, because his father is not in a happy mood with it. But there's quite a cute moment again when he meets up with Al, and they just kind of converse, and you can see that's probably going to end up being a development in that situation with those two. Episode 4, Internship. So Prince Chansley is talking to the common folk, but realises that he has nothing in common with them whatsoever. And so he goes to speak to Lord Vexley, who is too busy to entertain him at this point. It seems more like he's babysitting than anything else. And when Chansley asks if he can get a job, thinking that he'll work under Vexley, Vexley goes out and finds him a job out in the streets. And oddly enough, that job is with Eddie Shitshoveler. And so when Eddie speaks to Vexley, Eddie asks if Chansley has any qualifications. And Vexley tells him the only qualification he needs is that he is the Prince of the Realm. And then he threatens to kill Eddie if Eddie doesn't let him work with him. Al and Maggie, however, have started their own book club, which obviously seems a ridiculous thing way back in the Dark Ages, but it's quite a funny concept really when you think about it. However, Mikey wants to be part of their book club, but since he hasn't read the book and probably can't read, Al basically tells him that he's not allowed and so he leaves dejected. As he walks off out of the village, he finds a group of men and one woman who are a merry band, which is obviously just a take on the old Robin Hood thing. And especially since they are a bit like the ones from Shrek, they're all dancing around and singing songs until the point when they actually manage to rob someone. And when Mikey asks, what are you going to do with the money? Are you going to give it to the poor? They tell Mikey, no, we're going to buy drugs with it. While Chauncey's out on the job with Eddie, he ends up burning down the house. He ends up burning down the first house that he goes into within minutes. And not only that, he forgot to take the payment as well. So he offers to run back in, and Eddie tells him, no, we'll just move on to the next house. Turns out the next house is a good friend of Eddie's, and he keeps having flashbacks to what just happened, and thinks that he just can't allow Chauncey to go anywhere near this place. This is also after they've just had lunch, and Eddie had to feed Chauncey his lunch, because Chauncey doesn't know really how to use a spoon. And for an episode where there's quite a lot of modern slang in it, for instance like TGFI, Eddie is feeding Chauncey, and as he is, he tells him, here comes the carriage, and then does a nay sound, because he can't do here comes the aeroplane or here comes the train, because they haven't been invented yet. Just little details like that really make me laugh when I see things like this. So Eddie's not happy with what's happening with Chauncey, but he doesn't want to obviously be killed by Vexley. But he also doesn't want his friends to die. So he decides that he's going to give Chauncey a promotion. And he tells him that he's going to give him a stick. And he has to watch for bears. And he has to be 100 feet behind the cart. And he just has to look out for bears. And that's it. And if a bear comes, he has to hit the bear and shout, there's a bear. And then Eddie will know that there is a bear around. This is England. Not many fucking bears around. Just saying. So Mikey, however, has been informed by his sister that the people who he's hanging around with are just a gang, basically a bunch of thugs. And she tells him that he should stop hanging around with these people because they're no good for him. But Mikey doesn't listen, and when he goes to speak to the guys realise that Mikey's got a house. And so they tell him that, we're your friends, mate. Why don't we just go to your house? Is there any valuables there? And essentially, they just want to rob Mikey's house by this point. So Chauncey thinks that now he is part of the workforce, he can relate to the common man. And so when he actually speaks to someone who lives in the village, they seem to embrace him as a young, hard-working man. However, when he tells them that his job is to chase bears away, they start to laugh at him because this is obviously a ridiculous job. There are no bears anywhere near where they are, so he won't ever have to be brought into action. Mikey takes the merry men back to his house, and obviously they ransack the place. But since the shit shoveler family aren't really that well off, they've ended up only taking Al's book. Mikey gets annoyed that she keeps telling him that these people are bad, but then he realizes that they are, and so they come up with a plan to go and get the book back, since that's the only thing that really matters. And they end up having a bonding moment while going after the gang and getting this book. The only problem is, Mikey's so stupid that when they trap these people, they use a bag of dirt that Mikey had bought earlier on from the gang. So it didn't really matter. They ended up with his money anyway. He's an idiot. But they end up going to dinner, and everything seems to work out okay between them. Chauncey, however, is frustrated because Eddie's lied to him. As soon as Eddie comes back to meet him to carry on the rest of the day, he tells Eddie that he knows that Eddie's been lying to him and he knows that he's bad at this job. Eddie starts to tell him that, yeah, we need to have a chat because a lot of people around you are just yes men and they are telling you what you want to hear, and that includes me. And from now on, I need to be more honest with you. So yes, you have had a bad one, but we can teach you. And so Eddie begins to teach him, and as he does, they're in the middle of a field with just a cart next to them, and Chauncey ends up fucking setting the fucking cart on fire. Chauncey realises that he's just bad at this and goes back to the castle. When he's there, Vexley asks him, do you want me to kill the peasant that fired you? And he says, no, I was bad at it. I set things on fire and I didn't deserve the job. And so when one of the servants tells Chauncey that his soup is ready and the servant is ready to serve him with it, Chauncey sits down at the table and says, "No, I can do it myself." And it seems like finally Chauncey is becoming less of a burden on the people around him and more of a man. Fam, let's not use that term. More of a grown-up. Episode 5, Holiday. So within the town, they have a annual harvest day, a bit like harvest festival. The only issue is that it isn't to just harvest the crops that have grown in the season. This is to celebrate a basic mass murder of a bunch of people who lived on the outside of the town. And when you actually listen to the story, you're thinking, oh, it's probably years and years before. But it's not. It's only 3 years earlier. They've put on a play involving children that makes it look like it's sweet and innocent, that the people didn't get killed, that they gave their land up to the king. However, obviously Al and Maggie both know different and are scoffing at the fact that this play is absolute horseshit. And of course, when it comes to holidays of this kind, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving for the Americans, family are coming over. And Al doesn't get along with her uncle very well. She thinks that he kisses the king's ring too much, and she doesn't enjoy the way that he talks. Her dad is just trying to keep the peace, and just wants to have a nice harvest day. Chauncey, however, is doing the same thing. It's harvest day, so family is coming over. Except when his uncles and aunts turn up, Vexley tells him that it's a surprise that they're not killing each other, that they've actually come together. But Chauncey just thinks that they're stiff and there's no emotion between any of them. And so he decides to organise a bunch of games, like a game night, for everyone to get involved within. When Al's uncle turns up, like I say, Eddie is just trying to mitigate between the two of them. They're constantly sniping at each other, and you can see that her uncle just does this to wind her up. And Al is trying not to bite as much as possible. Her uncle has also brought over his children, who are absolute pieces of shit by the looks of it. They constantly just beat the shit out of Mickey throughout the whole episode, including one part where they are trying to play football in the traditional Thanksgiving style, and as Mikey goes to hike the ball, which is just a cabbage, one of his cousins gets hold of him, and the other one just comes and punches him directly in the face. Fucking harsh. And so they're just being arseholes to him. And they're a bit like their dad in that sense. Because he is in the house being a bit of a dick to Al. Al decides that she's going to get revenge on her uncle because she doesn't like the way that he treats her whenever he comes round. And so when she eventually comes back downstairs, it seems like he's had a few drinks and is ready to go a second round with Al. It ends up being very much millennial versus boomer versus Gen Z type of debate, where they talk about how you didn't work as hard as we did in our day and all that kind of crap. And it's a fucking pointless, horrible argument. And I mean, just go listen to James O'Brien talk about it if you really want to listen to someone talk about it. And so Al gets frustrated with him. Her final argument is, well, at least one thing's for sure, your wife left you for a banker, which is by anyone's standards, a little below the belt. Like, pick on his politics all you want, but having a go at his family is a bit harsh. And so instantly Al knows that she said something bad. But she's been pushed to the point of no return, and she's ended up just blurting this out. Chauncey, however, is thinking that things are going successfully when he starts playing the games. So originally they start playing charades, and at first it seems to be going okay, except his father seems put out by one little thing that one of his brothers has said. And so then they move on to the next game, and that's Pictionary. However, once again, the father gets pissed off, and Vexley can see that there are issues ahead, and tells Chauncey to change the game. So Chauncey decides that they're going to start playing Never Have I Ever, and it's at this point that Chauncey's dad, the king, steps up and says, "Never have I ever been a disappointment to my family." And that's it. Everyone starts drawing their swords and there is a massive scuffle. And the victor ends up being the king. But he is covered in blood and has just basically murdered his three siblings. So Al's uncle leaves because he feels embarrassed for what's happened, and eventually Al goes after him after speaking to her dad. When she finds him, she tells him that she's so sorry for what she said, she shouldn't have said it at all, and that it wouldn't be Harvest Day without him. He comes back to the house, and as they're sat eating dinner, it is deathly silent. Al keeps trying to keep the conversation going, but nobody's really biting on anything, until they ask about the story that both her dad and her uncle tell every year about a wolf. And so as they get into the story, they realise that the alcohol has all dried up. So Al decides she's going to go out and grab some alcohol. While she's out in and around the town, it turns out that Chauncey has also come out for a walk. After everything that he's seen tonight, he just doesn't want to be in the castle anymore. And so Al invites him over, and he gets to celebrate Harvest Day as he intended to, with a family around him that actually care about each other and haven't just fucking murdered each other. You know what? This show makes me really laugh. Like, stupidly laugh. Even as I've been commenting on it, I've been laughing because it's a ridiculous show. It really is. It combines both modern tropes and modern slang and things like that with the Dark Ages. It's just such a fun twist on that sort of genre. It really makes me... I really do enjoy it. It's such a fun show. And like I've said, I think Daniel Radcliffe in this series is just phenomenal. I think he's so funny. He's so dry, and he acts like an idiot most of the time, but he gets the job done, and I really admire that about him. And then you've got Geraldine Viswanathan, and honestly, I can't say enough about the girl. I think she's fantastic. I know that she's going to be in a film that's directed by the Coen brothers not too far away, and that is just the highest honour. Like, the Coen brothers have made some incredible films over time, and for her to be in it just shows how well this show did for her, because I think without this show, not many people would know how great she's going to be. She's going to be an absolute fucking star. And I mean, she is anyway, but she's going to be massive. Or at least I think she is. And if she isn't, she deserves to be. This show really did well in bringing in an absolute, I'm not going to say unknown, because she was probably known in from other shows, but I'd never seen her before. And then I may have seen her in one or two other things, or just as a bit part player, but nothing where she's the lead, and she's so funny. And then you've got a classic actor like Steve Buscemi, who can play it straight down the line, but is batshit crazy. It's a joy to watch the man work, it really is. And so, I do like this show. I think it's brilliant. I'm sad that it's gone, but I'm so pleased that I saw it. And I'm going to keep praising it like this until I get to season 4. But I don't want to go too long today. Obviously, as you've seen, episode 5 is pretty fucking long. Hopefully episode 7 won't be as long, but I do want to give the season a wrap up as well. So I'm going to leave you for now, but thank you for listening. I hope you're all doing well out there, and I shall speak to you soon. Bye. And that is it for now, amigos. And yes, I am as angry as you are at me for that sentence, but I hope you enjoyed the show and had some fun along the way. It means a lot that you are listening and supporting me. This is an independent podcast after all, and doesn't get a lot of backing. So it's great to know that you're out there, you're listening. And if you want to come talk to me on any of the platforms I'm on, just come say hi. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, and I'm even a little bit on TikTok. I don't post that much, but I'm on there. And you can also drop comments in the comment sections on any of the platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts from. But as always, thank you for your time, and I will speak to you soon.